Maybe on that point, I want to ask just a couple of short questions. We're interviewing, and those are just sort of some of my own thoughts now. We're interviewing mostly old people.
Yeah.
Even though, as you just said, you know, they were young at the time that we are usually interested in.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that is a problem in terms of creating an archive that is filled with the voices of those who remember from usually from the age of retirement. You know, shouldn't we interview more young people about more recent history, which would allow us to get a very different perspective, one of people who are still trying to figure things out, how what to do with their own lives, but which would also allow us to go back in 20 or 30 years and interview them again to see how things have changed. Is that something that has ever been done in Germany?
No, I have heard that there are some films, interview films, and I did some interviews with persons who I asked 20 years ago, only a few. And they were very strong in their old stories. There were nearly no change.
Which is interesting.
But I'm it's too so few that I'm very careful, and I never wrote something about it. But there are films started in the GDR by filmers, a whole village, and all or every 2 or 3 years they ask them again to different questions, to their new lives and so on. And that's interesting. That's very interesting, because you now have these persons talking to us during the existence of the GDR and now after that. That's funny to hear. Because the filmers changed their mind as well.
They changed their own...
Their own mind, their own, how would you say it, their own attitudes, orientations. Wie nennt sie das? Ihre eigenen Ansichten.
Their own attitudes.
Their questions are a little bit different. It's a pity I can't give you their address. It was a pair, and they were, when we started our institute, I invited them, and they showed these films at that time, 1993. And I do not know what happens today with them.
Was it ever published as a DVD or?
I think so in the meantime.
I think Alphonse told me about it, because I told him about a British project that was similar to
that. Alphonse Kenkmann? And the problem is, normally we ask people for their experience in a very, very old time when they were young. And we do it because we know they are dying soon, and we want to document their experience. And that's one point. And the other is, in Germany, especially in Germany, the experience of National Socialism. We want to make a lot of many, many interviews, many as we can, to document the experiences of these persons who were still alive during the National Socialism. And I think it's always a time we are going behind the development. And we do not start today to say, what about those who make their final exam in the schools in GDR? I have only one asked. It's a pity. And now she's in Yale. And she was in our institute after that as a volunteer. Wie sagst du nochmal? As a praktikant
internship.
For an internship.
Okay, yeah.
It's a pity we should have had done these interviews with these very few
generations.
Cohorten, altes age cohorts. And we didn't do it because we were we had so much to do to ask the older people. Hopefully we wanted to ask them later, but we didn't.
Just one follow-up question regarding that. When I asked earlier about who does oral history in Germany and who doesn't, in Canada and in Australia, for example, archives at the federal level and sort of state level do a lot of oral history interviews to what they say fill gaps in their collections. Do you know if that is done in Germany, in German archives?
No, I know. I know. I was invited the first time for meetings of the archivists in Germany, of the state and local archivists, and I was invited because it was a struggle. And normally, I do not know how it is in Canada or in Australia, in Germany, archives are eine Behörde, an administration of the state, of the commune, of the community,
of the municipality.
Yes. And they have to administrate the administrational files, the administration files.
Yeah.
And in that time, I was invited the first time, 1987, to the North Rhine-Westphalian archivists. And they wanted me to as a help against their bosses of the state government. Not the federal one, the state government. And this man, who was a state secretary of the North Rhine-Westphalia, he said, no, your task is to administrate and to help the visitors to use the files of the administrations in the government. And when they and me asked, why not others? Why not people who have very different positions as a, you know, as a form of contradiction or a different, with different experiences? They said, no, you are paid for this job. In Germany, that's the task of the archives. But there are a lot of local, just local archivists who try to make interviews. But I think until now, it's the main task of the archivists to administrate the files of the state.
So there are no central archives for oral histories, except for your institute?
Yes, and some others. There are some others. There is the poet, the literate, the Schriftsteller, what's that? Schriftsteller?
Authors?
Huh? Author, authors. Yes, author. Who's dead in the meantime? And he asked a lot of people to send him their personal diaries, pictures, and so on in a small village.
And what's his name?
Yeah, wait a moment. it's Natum, the small village. And we wanted to go together for a while. It failed, and I think because he was a man who wanted to make money with it as well. And there are some others, like these from the Körber Stiftung.
The Centers for Contemporary History in Potsdam and Munich.
No specifics. Now, in the meantime, there are a lot of interviews done by the members of such institutions. But if you try to get them, to get these interviews, you have big difficulties. Some of them are not sure if they made the interviews like we or with our standards, and perhaps they don't want to show it.
So your institute is the only place where, if I did interviews, where I could give them to you to have them archived.
I think you can give it to very different archives.
Okay.
But if you want to use an oral history archive, then I think our is the only one. There are in Bremen who try to archive such interviews. Ours is the only ones at the universities. But I think if you would like to say, I made a lot of interviews, I would like to have it in archives that students can use it, you can give it to the Bundesarchiv, to the Federal Archive. You can give it to different other institutes. If they want to do it, they do it. But if you want to have it in comparison to other oral history interviews, then I would give it to Lüden, to Hagen Lüdenscheid. But there are, I think, the most interviews, oral history interviews, are in the memorial centers in Germany, because there is no memorial without making interviews. Just about National Socialism, the big memorials of Sachsenhausen, of Buchenwald, the Jewish one in Berlin, they have a lot of interviews. I think there is no memorial which has no interviews, which has no interviews, you know what I mean. And now there are a lot of memorials on the history of the GDR and the GDR opposition, and there they are gathering interviews as well.
So it seems that major topics, and we haven't really covered that a whole lot yet, the major topics in German oral history have been National Socialism and more recently the GDR. What about, for example, immigrants or women's experiences or something like the Green Movement workers, you said something that you did in terms of National Socialism, but just the experience of workers. Are those topics that have been covered, that people have looked at in larger projects, or is that something that needs more work done?
I think one of the biggest lacks is the interrogation of immigrants. I am in the board of the Turkish immigrants of a group in Cologne. They made an oral history seminar with us. There are in the meantime some interviews with refugees and expelled persons, Germans, mostly Germans, but there are others from other country, not so many. Almut Lee did interviews with Naturschützer and
environmentalists,
but it's not systematical that there are institutions who say, I would like to have an archive of the Green Movement or the trade unions and so on. That's a pity, because in the meantime there are some of these organizations who would do it. Franz Brüggemeier, perhaps you remember it, he was a member of this group around Lutz Niethammer at the beginning, and he's an historian, historian in Freiburg today. Mm-hmm. He just called me and said the Deutsche Fußballbund, the German the soccer
association
will make interviews for their museum, and he's working in the board of this museum. Do you have interest to do these interviews or this part of the project? And I think in the meantime there are some. the most funny proposal came from a Beerdigungsunternehmens Verband, Berufsverband.
Funeral Parlor Association.
Yeah, and Karin Hartwig should do this work, but they didn't. They didn't have enough money at the end, and so on. There are some professional groups, some specific memorials, who are doing oral history interviews, but they are. They archive these interviews in their own institution. Mm-hmm. And it's not so easy to find out where you can find it, yeah? Because you never know if a specific professional organization has done such interviews. Mm-hmm. The Caritas, the Roman Catholic help organization, they made interviews for the about their history. Mm. And in the meantime, there are a lot of such projects, but there is no central, not a central institution, not even a central internet portal where you can find these interviews. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was at the beginning of our work, we asked them. We asked around the different institutions, do you have interviews to which questions, projects, and so on. And in that time, we knew how few institutions did such a work. Mm. But in the meantime, it's more, but we have no possibility to find them. Mm. And if I would start again, I would do it.
Yeah.
Because I think in the meantime we have so much, it's not only a question, or not any longer a question of doing interviews, it's a question of find them, because we have a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, but so widespread over different institutions that you can't find it.
Did you find with your own institute that the interviews that you had done, that they were used by others as well?
Yeah. Almut could tell you a little bit more than me, Almut Lee. She made statistics about the uses of our archive, and then you can see that students, teachers, journalists are the main groups are using these interviews. And on the other side, you can see that a lot of students like more to do their own interviews for their own project than using former interviews done by others, because they have specific interests, a specific question. On the other side, there are, for instance, groups we never worked together with them, like linguists, can I say it? Who are looking for specific linguistic changes or changing in using expressions and so on. Very seldom. Some Germanists, German studies, scientists, scholars, and it's not so much, but I was astonished how many, on the other hand, are using these interviews. But it's not so much.
Yeah.
There's not so many people using it. perhaps 100
a year.
A year per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, let's see.
But the main themes, I would like to add something. You said, because of my stories about all these questions, National Socialism, GDR. I think the main topics for those who are giving interviews or send us written reports is flight, post-war time, not the war, post-war time, as a flight, post-war times, prisoner of warship. Let's see. Plato. I think there are specific times and events which inaugurates personal documents, personal reports. And that's, I think, in Germany, especially the post-war time and this the reports on flight and expulsion.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah? Not the war. The war is as well, but not in this Größe, in this Umfang.
Certainly. That is certainly what I found with all the German immigrants that I interviewed.
As well, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's always flight, expulsion, and then the post-war period.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Even with soldiers.
Yeah.
It's very seldom that they actually talk about fighting in the battlefield or war experiences. It's always prisoner of worship.
What's done voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look what the main theme is, or which main themes are in these institutions, then it's Holocaust, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's the experience of National Socialism, it's the experience of the GDR and the GDR opposition, because there are institutions who are supporting such projects and interviews, but it's not the same what you are doing as a scholar, and that what the people are sending voluntarily to mm-hmm. you. Yeah? And I think we have the specific main points on National Socialism, war, flight and expulsion later
mm-hmm.
only. And I think I was the only historian, the oral historian, who did it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, it's different. There are others. Victims of different victims of National Socialism, perhaps of the GDR, but I think it will grow concerning the GDR because they are younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the victims of the GDR. And therefore, I think this time will be more in the center in the next 10 years.
Hmm. What about oral histories with perpetrators?
I think it's always very difficult to get perpetrators in front of your microphone. They do not want to tell us stories. We have some.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny story. I have done some, only a few, but then we tried on behalf of the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington to find perpetrators, and you couldn't title it like that.
Mm.
Yes, you have to find an expression where they are interested in. And we call it Erlebnisgeneration, the generation which experienced the National Socialist time. And very neutral. Everybody could tell us. And there were soldiers who wanted to tell something, But always, nearly always, they wanted to say that there were no perpetrators, that their unit didn't do anything for this annihilation of Jews or partisans and so on. Or the Kommissarbefehl, the order to kill the commissars of the Soviet Union, the Red Army. There were a lot of persons who said, no, our officer didn't use, he did not allow us, or did not allow to kill a commission,
Commissar
of the Red Army, and so on. They wanted to fight against the mainstream. They think that it's mainstream to judge the former soldiers in Germany.
Okay.
And we didn't find a lot of perpetrators. The former SS didn't want to be interviewed. We found some, and it's interesting, we found in Ludwigsburg, in this big archive on National Socialism crimes, we found some who were interrogated or who were accused in that time, some even with the same address as in the post-war or even in the wartime, but they didn't want to give interviews. Therefore, we were not very successful. Or you have a very wide sense of perpetrator of the expression. In my opinion, we should take it not so far that nearly all Germans were perpetrators. I prefer the definition in the Nuremberg trial that means personal guilty and in crimes of human rights, tortures, SS, and so on. And it's very difficult to find perpetrators in Germany who would like to talk. We found a lot, but they didn't want to talk with us.
Yeah, I remember this one book by, what was his name? Sichrowski? The Austrian guy who...
Yeah.
But the English title was Born Guilty, Schuldig Geboren.
And he a book or an essay?
A book.
No, I do not know it.
Okay.
But I know another story just from Austria. My colleague and friend Gerhard Botz made a seminar, and an open seminar, and there came a former anti-partisan fighter, and he talked a lot in the seminar about his work and his experiences. And then I can't understand it, or I can understand it, but I wouldn't do it. Then Gerhard Botz made an Anzeige, accused him, or let him accuse by the state attorney. Was heißt denn das? Eine Anklage erheben. Oder ihn anzeigen.
Well, he reported him to the police and had him charged.
Yeah.
And then the attorney general, I guess, would have laid charges.
And I think... nobody will talk if there is expectation that even in a university is accused. You have to decide: is it important to accuse him? Yes, because he did it openly in your seminar, and otherwise you perhaps are in the fire of critics.
Yeah.
Or would you say, no, we are like journalists and others, we have the possibility to say, no, it's our source, and I have the right to use this source from my research without any duty to accuse him. And I think I would have done the last. And my advice was it in that time to Gerhard, but he didn't follow it. Yes, but it's. I think you can't accuse anybody if there are some exceptions, even for me. He was a soldier. He did his soldier work. I think he killed a lot of partisans. He was educated for that, and it's not sure if he was a member of the unit who killed the Jews and gypsies. Okay.
Those are the difficult ethical
questions. Yeah, it's a difficult question.
Yeah.